Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to God's sovereigns from far and wide. Your Lordship, Tommy Lorenzo Hart, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Our Lord would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the King James Bible, also known as the Authorized Version Bible, coming from the Vatican. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He comes to show us how to unravel Vatican deception, hidden throughout Bible content. Tommy Hart decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the KJV, aka the AVB, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the KJV's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. Also, he defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes the King James Version, written in the year 1611, is merely a law book, a history book, in other words, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles, those who are classified as white. Written during the conquest of Africa, Mr. Hart exposes the many laws in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Mr. Hart is here because the Vatican sent for him in the pages of the KJV. Yes, read for yourself. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm and my honor, I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Tommy Hart.
Thank you, Mr. West, for that kind introduction. This presentation is on the Lord's will concerning God. Questions of interest, 2 Samuel 22:32. Who is God? Psalm 4, verse 6, who will show us, the Gentiles, any good? Statements of concern, 2 Samuel 22, verse 45. As soon as they, the Gentiles, hear, they shall be obedient to me, the Lord. 1 Samuel 23:11, the Lord said, he will come down. That means lose status, come down, that is. And now, the presentation on the Lord's will, which has to do with judgment. Isaiah 59:11 shows the Gentiles to be in a state of expectancy. The statement says, we look for judgment. That is to say, we expect judgment. Exodus 24:7 shows them, the Gentiles, to be in a state of readiness. That statement says, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. The law in Deuteronomy 17:9 speaks of the sentence of judgment, which is the same as the sentence of the law shown in Deuteronomy 17:11. The law says the Gentiles must do the sentence and not decline from the sentence. The Gentiles are commanded by the Lord, Ezekiel 20, verse 19, saying, I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Now, the term judgment implies punishment, as is evident in the statement or phrase, that is, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Ezekiel 14:10 says, quote, they, the Gentiles, shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, end of quote. Their iniquity or iniquities are cursing, lying, deceiving, trespassing, subjugation, and oppression of Africans / black people. They judge themselves to be deserving of and worthy to receive judgment for their, the Gentiles, offense of invading Africa, dispossessing its inhabitants, enslaving its inhabitants, scattering its inhabitants, the systematic procreation and production of black children, slave trafficking, mass murder of Africans / black people, conspiring to destroy an entire race of people. In short, they, the Gentiles, the papacy included, judge themselves to be deserving of judgment for the premeditated and calculated offense of genocide of Africans / black people. Exodus 5:23 says, those of the papacy, have done evil to this people, African people, black people. Again, the law says, they, the Gentiles, shall bear the iniquity of their iniquity. They, the Gentiles, shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. It says also in Ezekiel 21, verse 29, their iniquity shall have an end. Now, when I speak of judgment, I am speaking of a legal decision or an order or a decree or a sentence given by a judge or law court. I have thus far in this episode uttered four judgments of the Lord. They are that the Gentiles must do the sentence and not decline from the sentence. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. They, the Gentiles, shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, and their iniquity shall have an end. This, as I have stated before, is the time of judgment. The day or time for judgment has come. This is the time of the realization of God's promise, as recorded in Genesis 50, verse 24, which says, God will surely visit you. This is the time of the fulfillment of that recorded in Lamentations 4, verse 22, saying, He will visit thine iniquity. I have visited the Gentiles' iniquity. As concerns the Gentiles in the judgment of the Lord, the scripture, Jeremiah 5:22, says they cannot pass over it. That is to say, they cannot ignore it. They cannot disregard it. They must bear the punishment of their iniquity. And in Acts 27, verse 31, it is written, ye cannot be saved. They, the Gentiles, must bear the punishment of their iniquity. That sentiment is recorded in Acts 27, verse 20, saying, all hope that we, the Gentiles, should be saved was then taken away. God is present here on earth, and God is pronouncing the judgments of the Lord. They must fulfill the judgments of the Lord. They must fulfill the word which the Lord has spoken, which word I will show shortly. Now, in the judgment, the Lord speaks of new leadership, a new head, a new government, a new world order, which the Gentiles must receive, be subservient to, and obey according to the word of the Lord. The scripture, the law, says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 45, and Ezekiel 14:10, as soon as they, the Gentiles, hear, they shall be obedient. They shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. In the judgment, the Lord delivers the Godhead to another. The question then raised is, who is God? 2 Samuel 22, verse 32. Daniel 5, verse 19. Whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. The he there being a reference to God. The commandment to me, Psalm 17, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 17, verse 9, let my, the papacy's sentence, the sentence of judgment, come forth from thy presence. The Gentiles have stated that they will do all that the Lord has said. The question, Numbers 23, verse 17, what has the Lord spoken? The answer coming up. Mr. Welch, are you there with the announcements, please?
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy Hart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website, lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read, a text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half-millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.
Oh, the question. 2 Samuel 22, verse 32, who is God? What hath the Lord spoken? Numbers 23, verse 17. The Lord addresses the issue of God. The question is asked in John 21:21. What shall this man do? Now the Lord's judgments on God. What shall he do? 1. The judgment. 1 Corinthians 8:6. There is one God, the Father. Romans 11:13. Daniel 2:28. Daniel 2:29. Ezekiel 21:26. Romans 14:12. Psalm 45:11. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 44:21. I speak to you Gentiles. There is a God that reveals secrets in heaven. He that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. These are judgments I am reading. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. All of this is in answer to the question, what shall this man do? This man being a reference to myself. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. He is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The government shall be upon his shoulder, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. He knows the secrets of the heart. Genesis 3:16, he shall rule over thee. Still speaking to the Gentiles. How long? Revelation 11:15, he shall reign forever and ever. Isaiah 22:22. Let me omit that, please. John 16:13, he will guide you, the Gentiles, into all truth. Psalm 94:23, he shall bring upon them their iniquity. Isaiah 42:1, Isaiah 41:20, John 16:14, Ecclesiastes 2:19. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. He shall have rule over all my labor. Now, so all can get a sense of what's being done or talked about here. I have checked these things. He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. That's what I'm doing presently. That's what I have been doing since the inception of this program, Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. I am showing judgment to the Gentiles, as stated in Isaiah 42:1. I am pronouncing judgment. Okay? I am bringing upon them their own iniquity, the them being the Gentiles and those of the papacy. I am making known to the Gentiles and to all people what shall come to pass, and I am revealing secrets in heaven, and whereabouts specifically in heaven, right here on the earth. All right. So I am doing that which the Bible, I am doing the things that the Bible attributes to God. Who is this individual? The question was asked at the beginning, what shall this man do? I read off the things he shall do. Who is this individual the judgments speak of? He does reveal secrets. He makes known what shall come to pass. And the other things I just reiterated a moment ago. Acts 8:10. This man is the great power of God. it is this man that speaks to you now. Who am I? I am that man, the great power of God. Daniel 6:26, he is the living God. So the Bible describes in detail who the living God is and says that he is, that this individual, myself, this individual is the great power of God. Psalm 72:11, Hosea 7:7, Isaiah 43:17, Isaiah 42:13, all kings shall fall, all their kings are fallen. They shall not rise. He, the great power of God, shall prevail against his enemies. Ezekiel 37:22, judgment. One king shall be king to them all. Who is God? Who am I? The Lord is a great God and a great king above all the gods. The commandment to the Gentiles, Ezekiel 21:26, exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. The order in 1 Peter 2:17 says, fear or reverence God, honor the king. What has been said, God has been identified. It is also said that one king shall be over all the Gentiles, and that one king is God. And when we know who God is, we can know who the Lord is. The statement says the Lord is a great God. Okay, so God is the Lord. Lord is another title for God, and a great king above all the gods. So God is a, God is the Lord, and God is a king, a great king. Scripture says, the order in Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, fear or reverence God. And the order in Revelation 22:9 said, worship God. Let me go back to Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, fear or reverence God and keep his commandments. Psalm 22:28, and I believe I'll read verse 27 also. I will turn to it. That's Psalm 22:27-28. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Okay, the last statement there is spoken to me. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. As I've said before, once we know who God is, and I have stated who God is, this is not the first broadcast that I have manifested the name of God. This is not the first broadcast that I have pronounced these judgments. I know this is the second time that I have announced the preceding judgments. Okay. So, that is Psalm 22, verses 27 through 28, Revelation 22, verse 3, and Nehemiah 9:36. The kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. He is the Lord's, God the Lord's. Servants shall serve him. Behold, we are servants this day, the we being a reference to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are servants of God this day. We are to be. The statement says in Revelation, his servants, God's servants, shall serve him. I will see what their end shall be. In the end, 1 Chronicles 29. And I'm turning to it. Seeing what the end shall be, what does the end look like for the Gentiles? In the end, according to 1 Corinthians 29, verse 11, I am the head of all Gentiles. In the end, Revelation 19, verse 6, I reign as Lord God omnipotent. In the end, Psalm 47, 8, I sit on the throne of his holiness. In the end, Luke 15, 31, all that the Pope has is mine. In the end, Psalm 22, 28, the kingdom is mine. In the end, 1 Timothy 4:10, the Gentiles trust in me, the living God. And in the end, John 8:41, the Gentiles have one Father in me. That is the judgment of the Lord concerning God. Mr. Welch, are you there? I don't guess you're there. All right.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Phone was muted. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Okay. That is the end of my presentation on the judgment of God. Okay. Do we have anyone on the line?
We do have one individual. But before I do, this would be a good time to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Yes, I want to say this, that the last judgment report is taken from Psalm 62:11, which says, power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. So what we have here is the Lord's establishment of a new world order. In the new world order, there is one God, a new God. There is one Father, a new Father. There is one King, a new King, and one Lord, a new Lord. And one bears those four titles. Those four titles the papacy has given to me. All right? And the government of God is founded or established, let's say that, the government of God, the new government of God is established with God at the head. The Gentiles are to be servants. The Gentiles are to serve God in this new world order. The Gentiles to heed the judgment and do carry out, fulfill the judgment of the Lord. All present kings are fallen. They are not, they have lost their legitimacy or their legitimacy, their power, their authority is taken away. They are fallen. Okay. There is one legitimate king in God. There is one legitimate Lord in God. There is one legitimate Father in God. Okay? There is one legitimate God in me. That's pronouncing of the judgment of God, the judgment concerning God, the judgment having to do with God. Right? All nations, we are told in the judgment, shall serve him, all nations of the Gentiles. Mr. Welch, what do we have?
We have one caller, and I believe it's Mr. Nero at this time, and I will unmute his mic. Mr. Nero, if you are with us, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Lord.
Hello, Mr. Nero. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I think I missed maybe the first 10 minutes of the broadcast.
Well, the broadcast. Go ahead.
I didn't know the broadcast would have wasn't going to go the full hour, but I certainly find it very interesting that they have given over all of their kingdoms and titles to you. And that,
okay.
I'm wondering, does does that suggest, with even within them, some form of division with all of these kingdoms?
I don't see where it should.
Okay.
All the Gentiles are under authority, you know.
I know that in some of the research that I've come across, and I find it interesting that I continue to come across this information without really looking for it. It seems to just come to me. One being the year 1213 papal decree. This is coming from the Vatican. I believe it's part of the treaty or the Magna Carta. I'll just read this quick paragraph that would attempt to answer that question about the kingdoms. It says here, on April 21st, 1214, the year 1214, the Pope in Rome formally accepted King John's surrender of his kingdoms and his pledge of vassal. And I'll just leave it at that. So it appears that the nations, the kingdoms of the Gentiles were formally accepted under the rulership of the Vatican.
Okay, I can't say anything about that. I only do the Bible content.
Yes, sir. I just find it interesting that this information is everywhere. So therefore, again, you know, it definitely corroborates with the Bible.
It's not a secret that they are under papal authority. Now with the internet, all the information on the internet, and before the internet, it wasn't a secret. I mean, the internet isn't revealing anything that was secret in the Bible, but it does give forth a lot of information that is known or in the public domain and has been in the public domain.
In the public domain and kept silent. I didn't learn this in school.
Yeah, nor I.
That's a big component. It's kept silent. So now we are living in the day of the judgment, as it states. We are learning who is God, and through the many statements of concern, and we get to see this judgment being carried out on the Gentiles.
That remains to be seen, the judgment carried out by the Gentiles. Yeah, they have to do it. Go ahead, don't let me stop you.
Oh, I'm just reading through the description for today. Really, I don't have a question at this particular time. Looking at the board, there are no other callers. But we do have 20 minutes left in the show, in the live broadcast. So if there's anyone out there who would like to call in, the guest call-in number is area code 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. Please call in and join the discussion. If you have any questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you.
From the message today, we learned that the papacy has ruled itself unfit to rule. The law says, he that ruleth men must be just. And as the much evidence I have put forth and brought forth on this Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast, we see the wickedness that the papacy has been involved in. We see the conspiracy between the papacy and the Gentiles to commit genocide. We see their iniquity, that of genocide, and to break it down all further, the iniquity of lying, deceiving, enslaving black people, trespassing, doing what they did in the procreation of slaves, the forced systematic procreation and production of black children, etc. We see the slave traffic, the papacy, the Gentiles, all form the conspiracy. That is the act, the conspiracy to do evil, the conspiracy to commit genocide. And all one has to do is go back to the many programs on the poor man and his complaint to see the detailed descriptions of what the papacy and the Gentiles have done. Now, we know that the Gentiles, alias white people, invaded Africa. That's history. We know that they enslaved black people. That's history. What we did not know, that the Bible is all about that. The crucial matter of Bible content is all about the Gentiles' conspiracy to do evil against black people, papacy included. Gentiles and the papacy is conspiracy to do evil against black people. Mr. Nero, you had something to say?
No, I was just saying exactly, and I still marvel at how you've been able to pull this out after so many years. And, you know, I thought I knew what I was reading when I used to allegedly study the Bible. But unfortunately, I was told that these fairy tales were real, and I guess that really points you in such a wrong direction just from the get-go, that even some of the obvious things that you pointed out, like Joseph being sold not by his brothers, and the story of Jesus, and just some things that you pointed out that it just still amazes me that you know, that one person finally came along after, you know, 300 some odd years, because I know you've been working with Bible content now for almost 40 years. So, but no man until now had done the work that you've done. So, it just still for me is just, you know, breathtaking. That I just marvel at what you've been able to do, you know, to do with the Bible. So,
well, it's a new day too. Thank you for that. It's a new day. This is all about enlightenment. Black people have been kept in the dark with regard to Bible truth and the things that the Bible really teaches. And now, through my work with Bible content, as you mentioned, the Bible becomes understandable. I mean, many people should be rejoicing because of this fact.
I agree.
Because not just black people have been fooled by the Gentiles and the papacy, other people as well. Millions and millions and millions of people have been fooled by the papacy and the Gentiles, another conspiracy of theirs to hide the truth. and deceive. So, I mean, it should be a joyous time for many, many people right now to know what the Bible actually teaches. And the fact that I alluded to earlier, which is the Bible talked so much about the enslavement era. Matter of fact, that's the subject matter of all the Bible content. Everything else in this crucial matter is related to to the curse, which is in the Bible, which one can read line upon line in my book, the book of the law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God. One can read the curse line upon line. That's wonderful to see. Wow, all of this stuff is in the Bible. And wow, I mean, and we've just been deceived so long. But we don't have to be deceived anymore, any longer. We can know the truth. Truth is available to black people and all people. Truth is accessible now by means of this ministry, the teaching of the truth of Bible content. Mr. Welch, Mr. Nero.
Wow, many things that go through my mind. I can go in any direction. The fact of the matter is we do live in a non-reality in our mind with respect to what we're seeing versus what we're being told. The two are not commensurate. On the one hand, we are told that the stories coming out of the Bible and passed down from generation to generation, you would think that these stories depict a world where literally we have heaven on earth at the end. It just seems as though what everyone has in their mind today about the Bible and the end time and who God is and when God's coming back to for the judgment, the story that we've been told, it's Hollywood. I've seen that movie time and time again. That movie comes out every Friday, where there's a hero and there's a big climax at the end, and then everybody comes out happily ever after. We have got to realize that we've been tricked. And we are under that spell right now, with the forces of good and evil. It just seems as though, for instance, we live under a planetary system where the page that starts with the Vatican and its rulership, I believe it's their goal to enslave all of mankind forever. And if aliens were to come to the planet, they would seek to bring them under this system of enslavement as well. I don't see them extending and or if you will visiting other worlds, which is what I continue to hear in some circles. I just don't think that they would see any form of a peace. It would be more of the same. Coming to a theater near you brought with them the things that are coming out of the Vatican and the things that are coming from the Gentile nations. I just don't see anything changing unless we accept this the judgment and seek to carry it out. But things will not change.
Well, all those listening should walk in light of the truth. You know, in light of the truth of Bible content, in light of the fact that I have demonstrated and set forth, the Gentiles are to carry out the law of God. They are to carry out the judgments, fulfill the judgments. They are to, the one statement I read today said, exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. They put that in there because the papacy debases itself and exalts God in me. All right. Now, these things must be realized. The Gentiles must actually do that, you know. They are obligated to do that. They are debtors to fulfill the law of God. They are debtors to fulfill the judgment. Black people who are listening and others should accept the truth of Bible content, receive it, rejoice in it, and align themselves with God in support of the truth of Bible content. You know, that's what remains. You know, each person, each one, walking in light of the truth, rejoicing in the truth, and rejoicing in the God of the truth of Bible content. The producer of truth. That's what remains.
Yes. We don't want church. Or again, we don't want more of the same. We want a change. A real
change. What we want is truth. There's nothing wrong with people assembling together. There's nothing wrong in that. What we want is truth, though. And that's what the Bible is setting forth and dictating. Truth. Walking in light of truth. Rejoicing because of the truth. And what? Serving God, honoring God, loving God, doing the things that they say in religion they do to and for God. You know, because God is a reality. God is a reality. We know the truth. God is a reality. This is not a fictional story. This is real life. This is real life when I fulfill the many passages of Bible content that I've done. This is real life. Prophecy is real. This is the real realization of the prophetic utterances in the Bible. I can't say it any clearer than that. This is it. This is the real thing. God, serving God, loving God. Because that's a great work when God delivers people and gives people the means whereby they can come out of their deceptive state. That's a heavy thing. That's a serious thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
And the truth shall make you free. Okay, free from what? Free from deception and the lies that we've been taught. God's people need to congregate together. Those of you who believe in me in light of Bible truth, we should come together. We should have solidarity, you know. We should be together. Stand up together. For one for all, you know.
You said something very important, solidarity. And I believe the truth will not only set you free, but it will also bring us together in solidarity.
Yeah, because you can't stand alone out there. I mean, it's too. They have too many strongholds out there, and defenses out there in the world. And when I say they, I'm speaking about the papacy and the Gentiles. It's hard for one to stand alone and saying, I know the truth, I don't need to be with anyone else, et cetera, et cetera. Well, maybe you don't. But the average person is not like that. The average person is weak. The average person has his weaknesses. And there's a saying, birds of a feather flock together. You know, people flock together in groups and all. I kind of lost my point there, Mr. Welch and Mr. Nero. But if one of you have anything to say?
No, I think I understand what you're getting at. It's interesting that they reveal to you their own wickedness, and that because of that wickedness, they're ultimately unfit to rule.
Yeah, they judge themselves unfit to rule. And not only that, but they gave the rulership to another. They just didn't leave the world without a head. They place headship in another, and that is in God, that is in God in me.
Do you believe, or do you think that them writing about that in the Bible was sort of leaving themselves an out because of the disbelief about, you know, the campaign that they were about to embark upon, that it's almost as if they can't believe that they're going to get away with it, so therefore they left themselves an out? Do you believe or something to that effect?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe they left themselves an out, because as I said in my discourse today, they said themselves that they cannot be saved. They cannot escape the judgment once God comes and declares judgment. They cannot escape.
Well, my next question would be then, knowing that sooner or later you're going to pay for your crimes in the worst way, why go forth with it? I guess I can answer my own question. I mean, you know, why would criminals commit crime?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what was the question again, Mr. Welch?
More or less, for instance, you know, if they knew that sooner or later they were going to be brought upon charges and tried and judged, why would they carry out the vicious campaign that we've seen thus far?
I can't answer for the papacy. They did their evil. They do their evil. But that's why the accurate understanding of Bible content is important. Obviously, the odds against someone doing what I've done are terribly against one doing that. But it's happened. They left themselves without an out. There's no loophole. There's no loophole if you listen to the law. The law says what they must do. The law says they must serve God. The law says they must carry out the judgment for their iniquity. You know, I don't see how one can find a loophole in that.
Well, forgive me for asking that last question. Forgive me for asking that last question, and I'll tell you why.
There's nothing wrong with a question. There's nothing wrong with a question.
Well, it's my belief that I believe it's a waste of time trying to figure out why they do what they do. We shouldn't be worried about that. We should be worried about what is written in the Bible. We should be worried about the judgment and carrying it out at this time, and not trying to figure out why they think the way they do, why they are the way they are. That's just a waste of time. That's for a psychologist.
And we should thinking about and speaking about what we are doing, what we are going to do in light of truth and for truth.
Absolutely. I'm in total agreement.
Yeah, I agree. But for the sake of the audience, there's nothing wrong with that question. Now, I've been asked before, is there a loophole in the law? I haven't found one, because the law is too clear. And they did that purposefully. Okay? Purposefully. It's clear. It's precise. It's exact. And the law means just what it says. Okay. They say they cannot be saved. That means just what it means, just what it says. They cannot avoid the judgment, the punishment for their iniquity. They cannot avoid. And it's good that you find these confessions and statements in the Bible, and we can understand these statements and know what's going on in that which is written in the book of the law, the Bible. That is good. Understanding is very good. And, of course, we should use, as you said, Mr. Welch, we should use that understanding and walk in that understanding with all that we have.
Yes.
And seek to be an inspiration to others who will hear, who will listen. And that's another thing, another point that was brought out in the discourse today. It says, the scripture said, as soon as the Gentiles hear, they shall be obedient. And that's very important. Because one could ask the question, okay, what's the deadline? What's the deadline for them to fulfill the law? The deadline is when they hear it. And now, I haven't been on Blog Talk Radio over a year. I know there is no excuse. There is no excuse. They have heard. What do I mean by that? I mean, there are Gentiles who have heard. And they, just like black people, have access to truth. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. God has made himself known. That's why the judgment of God is so important. The crucial question there being, who is God? And I have made myself known time after time on this program, including in today's discourse. I've made myself known. They tell God, they say to God in Psalm 94, they say, show thyself. Reveal thyself. They say again in one of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they say, show thyself to the priest. Reveal thyself. Well, I've done that. I'm doing it. By means of the internet and Blog Talk Radio, I'm doing that. And, of course, before I got on Blog Talk, I sent the papacy a document. This was a few years ago. Okay? So they are not just now hearing about me. God has to make himself known to them in the past several years. They are without excuse. Go ahead.
No excuse. Even the Gentiles say themselves time and time again that ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right, exactly.
That is true.
Ignorance is no excuse. Yep. But I'm so glad again that that we have access to truth now. We have access to truth and don't have to be deceived anymore, but can walk in light of the truth and can rejoice with others who are doing the same thing. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad that I've accomplished one of my objectives, which was one of the main objectives, I think the first objective that I stated over a year ago on Blog Talk Radio on another person's program, that my primary objective was to get my teaching, to make my teaching accessible to people and to black people in particular, since I'm a black man, and of course, to the Gentiles, excuse me, because as the message said today, as it was stated in my discourse today, that in the judgment, the Lord is speaking to the Gentiles, but that doesn't put anybody else off the hook, you know what I'm saying, because the Bible talks in terms of all people, but it speaks in particular to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are being punished, taking away all their kings, all their high ones, and exalting another, God in me. And these people are taken down. These people are fallen, as the scripture says, and they cannot rise. They have no legitimacy. No legitimacy to rule, to govern, or to reign. No, they don't. Mr. Welch, Mr. Neal?
Well, it is so wonderful to hear you say those words. You know, for me, you know, I was hoping that I would hear those words someday. And as you've stated before, this is a time of rejoicing because now we have the truth. And again, people, it appears that people from around the world are hearing this word. And as I said at the end of last week's broadcast, you know, for black people, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this truth?
Yeah, that's the question. Go ahead.
Then this is our chance to go free, really go free. Okay, the enslavement era ended in 1865. I would say the our chattel enslavement ended in 1865. Or
You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
This is
better.
Yes.
The enslavement era is over, but we have yet to be free. And we can take our freedom at any point if we would just hear this word and act upon it. It's about what we are going to do. If nothing else, if the Vatican hears this word and they do not act upon it, then so be it. It's about what we're going to do from this point on. So that is our focus.
That's our focus, and it's still also a focus of mine, the papacy, because that's very important. Both of them are very important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because if if there's going to be anyone that carries out the judgment, it will be God and his people.
Okay. Keeping in mind that the Gentiles are obligated to carry it out. And that's wonderful to know. We know that they are obligated. We know that they are debtors to the law. They are debtors to fulfill the law. Okay, we know that. And we keep talking about that and keep that out front. You know?
That is wonderful to know.
Yeah, we will not forget. We will not forget. The question is what black people are going to do with the truth, but we will not forget what the Gentiles are obligated to do. And we will not forget that the high ones among the Gentiles are fallen. They are fallen by the judgment of God. And that their authority and power have been taken away from them. So if they are still in their palaces and all, they are there illegally. They are there illegally because they are to give those things up. They are to leave, and not only leave, they are to make a public announcement regarding this thing of judgment. They are to make a public announcement and give up the throne, their thrones, their crowns, their dominions, give it up because they don't have it. Their power has been taken away. Because of their iniquity. And what is that iniquity? That of conspiring to commit genocide against Africans / black people. That's news. That's news. And if they don't, well, I won't say if they don't because I expect them to do it. So I won't even say that. I expect them to carry out the judgment. I expect them to fulfill the judgment. I expect them to honor God. I expect for them to do what they said they will do. That is, do whatsoever the Lord has said and be obedient.
I just would like to say real quick, you use the word genocide. When the word genocide is heard, a person might think of millions upon millions of people being murdered. In this sense, genocide doesn't necessarily mean the murder of millions upon millions of people, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people, to try to wipe them out completely through death. Genocide can also be applied to any situation where a people have been destroyed completely, totally, in the many areas of their lives, rendering them completely powerless, taking them out of their natural state, turning them into something else. That is also a form of genocide.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I say genocide, I don't mean they sought to kill every black person or every African. That's not what the word genocide means. I'll read the definition here from my dictionary.
All right.
Genocide, the the systematic killing of or a program of action intended to destroy a whole national or ethnic group. All one has to do is look at the curse, and you will see their intention of destroying the Africans. And they use that word, destroy, 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 until they be destroyed, until they be destroyed. So that's what it's talking about, a program of action intended to destroy. Not necessarily kill everybody or kill millions and millions, but to destroy. And that what you said, Mr. Welch, just now is true. And all one has to do is listen to my programs even today, where it speaks of where I show their destruction of Africans / black people, okay, by enslaving, by taking away their power, by taking their mind. Somebody has, you know, I've heard people say, you know, one thing they can't take your mind. Well, they did that. The Gentiles did that. They took the mind of black people away. Everything that we knew before the Gentile invasion of Africa, we don't know now. We lost it. We lost everything. We lost even whatever we were called. We don't know. Ask the average black person who's been scattered by means of the Gentiles, scattering of black people. All he can say is, the average one is, well, the Gentiles say, I'm from Africa. Okay, what specific geographical location are you from? I don't know. I don't know. Destroyed. Our mind was destroyed. They took all knowledge away from us. That's destruction. And then the systematic forced procreation and all. Then the scattering. There was no such thing as a black family unit. Separating parents, children. No such thing as a relative. You didn't know because you were separated. Separated. Boy. It was a total new beginning when they outlawed slavery for black people. It was a total new beginning. Everything was new to us. Raising a family, being a part of a family, that was new to us. But anyway, we were speaking about the issue of genocide. Go ahead about what you were saying about genocide. So, yes, but that's what genocide means, and that's what I mean when I speak of genocide. They conspired to commit genocide against Africans / black people. Go ahead.
Well said, sir. I would just add that the genocide continues today. For African black people, it is as if the continent of Africa is one giant host, and the Gentile is the parasite. Without getting into it into detail, that's the reality that we have today. Africa does not operate under its own volition. It doesn't operate under, you know, I'll just give you a small example. The president of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, read an article recently where he still has to grovel to the European Union to lift sanctions so that he can operate in his country. And what people do that? You see the different forms of starvation, the lack of resources. And the continent itself is probably the richest in resources on the planet, but the people are not they're not capable, they're not able to benefit from those resources because those resources are being stripped from by the Gentiles, and that's the reality. And so, therefore, I make the statement that the genocide continues throughout carried out by the Gentiles on African black people.
Okay.
It's still going on.
Okay.
And so, you know, with black people, we have to understand this and you know, bring alarm to the situation that now we have someone in our midst, we have God in our midst, who has come to render judgment and carry it out. We need to be behind God. We need to back God in this effort. This is the opportunity to know truth and to render judgment and to get justice. That's how I see it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And to just live the way we are intended to live, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that?
Right.
Oh, that's all I have, sir.
That was well said. Well said.
Mr. De Niro? Mr. De Niro,
sorry,
did you have something?
Can you repeat that? No, I said that's all I have for today.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. Well, if there's nothing else, then we'll close out.
All right.
Let me also say this, though. Let me say this. Those of you who might not can order the book over the internet, you can write me, Tommy Hart, P.O. Box 2252, Hepzibah, Georgia 30815. That's Post Office Box 2252. Hepzibah, Georgia, Hepzibah, Georgia, 30815. And just say, send a check for $15 for the document. You want the book. Okay. You may forget the name of the title. Just say you want the book. You want the law book, however you say it. Okay? And I'll get it off to you in the mail. Okay, and the name of the book is The Book of the Law, All Things That Demonstrated Power of God. The Law Book. Okay, the book that's better than the Bible itself, because it gives understanding of Bible content. It makes Bible content intelligible. The book that is better than the Bible. All right? The Bible is written in a confused way. Confused manner. That's why people say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. Okay? All right. Mr. Welch?
Yes, I would just like to say, in closing, if you believe that it's time to break free of a half a millennium spell, join us each Sunday right here on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. Eastern. And also you can go to lawmaster.co, again, www.lawmaster.co, and just peruse through the website. There's many things there. You can also pick up the manuscript as well. And we also have another feature on the website. We'll talk about that at the appointed time. This
okay.
is the conclusion of today's broadcast. I bid everyone a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Good day.
Good day. Good day to the two of you.
Oh, thank you. Day.